Hey, everybody. Welcome to A Voice in the Wilderness podcast with Skipper Hare. I'm here with Pastor Travis, man, and we were just talking about being fathers.
Oh, yeah, that's difficult. I had to move my 23-year-old daughter this week. She got a new place to live, and so Saturday I went to go move a couch, one of the old-school couches that has the bed in it, weighs 300 pounds. Oh. Smashed my finger so hard trying to get it out the door. I mean, I had to put it down and walk out in the yard, and you know when you smash your finger like so hard you feel like you're gonna puke?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that was me. I was like, am I really about to puke? This hurts so bad. And so yeah, long story short, I wound up having to burn a paper clip and put a hole in my fingernail, and blood shot out all over the place. All in the name of trying to be a dad.
Yeah. You know? I know. I was just telling Travis when we were fixing to get on the air that Fisher has officially told me, he's 10 now, my boy, he's officially told me he doesn't want to play football this year. And we were actually on the way home from here. You know, it takes about 15 minutes to get from here. And so I'm like asking him, hey, man, do you want to sign up for football this year? And he's like, I want you to make the decision. And I'm like, well, buddy, you know, because I don't want to push him. I mean, I've been a football coach for a long time. I love the game. I loved it personally when I played. But I want him to be passionate if he's going to do it. And, man, he was like, you make the decision. And I'm like, no, I'm not doing that. I want you to decide. You're getting to where you need to start being able to make decisions on your own. And he said, no, I don't want to play. And I said, why? And he goes, see?
You're already questioning him, like, no, that's the wrong answer, son. Yeah.
And so I'm learning. And then I asked him, I said, do you want me to start learning jiu-jitsu and getting the adult class so I can kind of help coach, you know? And he goes, no. And I'm like, man, I'm learning that I guess it's just too much pressure. I don't know. My kids say I'm kind of scary. I don't know. I'm trying to figure it out.
When you're extremists like us, there's no, like, it's either wide open or we're completely in park. Yeah, I remember when Taylor, she started playing softball. I played baseball, and, you know, that was my passion. And so whenever she started playing softball, it was like, it was a little new to me. The game's pretty much the same, but it's a little different, you know? And so I can remember when she was young, and I asked her, I said, you know, on the way home from practice one day, I said, Taylor, what's your favorite thing about softball? You know what I'm thinking as a dad? She's going to be like, I love hitting, or I just love fielding, and I like, you know, making the throw to first and making the catch. I'm just, my mind's racing. I'm in anticipation of what my daughter's response is going to be, because I knew, like, me growing up at her age, I loved all of it. It was awesome. And she sat there in silence for a good 30 seconds, and all of a sudden she just pipes out, the songs we sing. And I'm like, I didn't let her know, but in that moment it was like all the air went out of my balloon, and it was like, okay, this is where we're at. I'm cool with it, though. Yeah. Go ahead and sing your song in the dugout. You know, if that's what makes you happy. It was quite a moment, but I remember thinking as a dad going, all right, this is going to be awesome. And I got an answer I definitely was not expecting. Yeah. The songs we sing, what are you talking about, girl? You know?
Yeah, I know, man. Those of you that don't know me, I my dad passed when I was 2, so I didn't really have that dynamic in my life growing up. And so I tell my wife all the time, I said, you got to give me some grace about being a dad, because I'm learning on the fly.
Yeah.
You know, especially a son. I didn't have that relationship. And, you know, I've stumbled my way through, you know, raising the girls, because, you know, as a dad with a girl, you just want to be so protective of them.
Yeah.
And they're at the age now to where they want to be able to kind of spread their wings a little bit, and they want dad to kind of leave them alone.
Sure.
And that's not easy. I mean, you know?
Yeah, I was with Taylor, with girls. I can remember this like it was yesterday. I was probably like 23, 24. Taylor was a young girl. maybe three, and I was in her bedroom, you know, trying to be dad, hanging out, just, you know, playing with, you know, Barbie dolls. I can't believe I'm admitting this, but I did. This is a true story. I remember, because at the house that we lived in, all my buddies would always, they'd never come to the front door. They would always walk around to the back. We had a window room and, you know, a living room set up in there, a door. And so they would always come to that door and knock on the door or whatnot. I was usually in the back there. And I remember thinking to myself, because the window, Taylor's window to her bedroom was, you had to pass right by it. And I'm sitting here playing with Barbie dolls with, you know, and I looked out that window and I said, you know, I am not going to allow those guys to see me like that. So I closed the blinds and I continue to do what all good dads do and play with Barbies with their daughter. But I do remember that moment going, yeah, nobody's going to see this. This is a special moment between me and her.
Yeah, I won't tell you, but, you know, just talking to him yesterday, I'm starting to realize that, you know, he's gifted. I mean, I really feel like Fisher's going to be super gifted, you know, physically. I mean, God's given him some tools he didn't give me. He's going to be taller than me. He's a lot leaner than I was. He's just got a lot of gifts, man, physically. And and I keep explaining to him, man, brother, you can, if you have confidence in yourself, you're going to be able to be whatever you want. And then yesterday, well, actually this morning, Gracie called me, which is real rare. Gracie don't call me. Gracie's 19, don't call me much. You know, she's in that I'm flying the coop thing. Mm-hmm. And she calls me. And I really have always felt like that God has given her the gift of communication, like to be a female evangelist. And, man, she doesn't like that at all. She's like, no, I ain't doing that. I ain't standing in front of people and speak. But every time she tells me she don't feel comfortable with it, it tells me that that's more of a
– He always calls you outside of your comfort zone.
Yeah, so I was talking to her today, and I said, you know, I was watching a clip of Christine Kane and Charlotte Gamble yesterday, just watching a couple of clips of them. And I said, man, I just really feel like, you know, that you could go out and travel the world and communicate like that. If you get started with it, eventually God would open those doors for you. And she just, you know, she thinks I'm crazy. Right. But, you know, as a dad, you know, you just want to see them do what God created them to do. Whatever that is, I don't care. Yeah. It doesn't matter to me what it is. I just want to see them embrace it and run with it.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at with Taylor. I'm, you know, she's at SEU pursuing, you know, schooling and just pursuing Jesus and serving Jesus. And I let the Lord take care of all that. I'm confident that he who began a good work in her is faithful to complete it. I felt accomplished because she actually had me help her with some homework. And if you know my, like a little bit of our history, that's huge. She's taken an Old Testament class and she called me up a few weeks ago and was like, Dad, I need some help. And I was like, really? You're asking me? Like, after I scarred and wounded her, long story, when she was in second grade, the first week of school, we would pick her up from Green Acres here in town. And I noticed when I got her, she was just defeated, like deflated. And I could tell that there was something visibly wrong with her. And so we got into the truck and I said, Taylor, what's wrong? What's going on? And she said, oh, nothing. You know, I kept poking her and like, hey, what's, you know, I'm your dad. You can tell me anything, you know. And at this point, I'm thinking, all right, somebody's bullying my daughter. I'm bowing up on the inside. I'm like, yeah, we about to handle something. I don't care if you in second grade or not. You not picking on my, you know, on my girl. And so I got this on the inside of me just kind of swelling up, like, you know, this defender, this, you know, warrior. I'm going to battle for my daughter. And finally I said, Taylor, I said, listen, I'm your dad. I love you. You can tell me anything. She goes, okay. And she begins to say, you remember that homework you helped me with last night? And I'm thinking, well, what in the world does this have to do with anything? And she rips it out of her book bag and she goes, I got every single one of them wrong. And there was big giant X's on every problem in red above the page. It said, follow the directions. So dad effectively, you know, got every single problem wrong for my, and she never, like, literally, her coming to me about Old Testament class that she's in SEU is the very first time that that she's come to me for any type of homework help. She was like, that just scarred her for life, man.
That is too funny, man.
I know. I didn't even know what to say. I was like, I wanted to kick my own butt. You know what I mean? I was just like, wow, really? But yeah, I remember that, you know, moment as a dad thinking, uh-oh. So I tried to read the directions a little bit, you know, more. I got them all wrong. Second grade, that's me.
Yeah, well, man, they're starting to teach, like, Fisher's working, like, a really simple form of algebra. Man, yeah. He's in fourth grade, man. And I'm like, dude, we didn't even look at that until, like, eighth grade.
Yeah, we were doing geometry volume homework with Grace, and it ended last night with her crying and stomping and going, you know, to bed. And then we had to get up this morning, and I had to help her with it, and I need to get better at it, maybe. But my wife's like, you're not a very patient teacher. I'm like, well, no, I'm trying to be the teacher, and she's trying to tell me I'm, you know, and there was right. tension, and yeah, it's challenging.
Speaking of her, dude, I mean, watching what she's doing at this age on the guitar and stuff, you know, I mean, what's she been doing it for, just a month or two?
Well, it's probably about 3 months now. But yeah, she wanted to learn and went to YouTube, you know, and just watched some videos, and she took off from there. We actually bought an app that is almost like, if you're familiar with Guitar Hero, how you hit yeah. the buttons and stuff. Well, this one is set up just like Guitar Hero, except it has the actual numbers, you know, for the frets and chords and stuff. And so instead of spending all that time in front of video games playing something that's not going to really add value to learning to play the guitar, we actually bought, you know, an app for her that does that, and it helped tremendously.
Yeah, if she sticks with that, brother, she will be something else on that guitar, man.
She enjoys it, you know, and she makes it look easy, and anytime somebody makes something look easy, it yeah. makes her a little gifted at it. But yeah, she's smooth when it comes to changing and moving her fingers and, you know, hitting her chords. But yeah, at 10 years old, the guy that works with her is like, yeah, I want to work with her. Because at 10, yeah. you know, having somebody that can actually play with you and keep yeah. timing and change is
well, I think we should set forth some new legislation that we just close down all the schools because they're teaching them all this crazy stuff, yeah. and we'll just let everyone watch YouTube.
Yeah, that's probably more dangerous than anything.
Because I'm going to tell you, I've learned a lot. Sometimes I sit there and I think to myself, man, what did people do before they could get on YouTube and learn how to fix stuff or what have you?
I was in Home Depot this morning on YouTube looking how to cut plexiglass. You yeah. know, it's like, okay. yeah, I use it.
Like when I fix my truck, you know, I got this 95 Chevy, and when I fix it, I'll go on YouTube and I got a newer car, a 17 Corolla. And I'll look at it, and I'll look, and it's like, you got to do this and this, mm-hmm. and you got all these little things you got to. And I'm like, how did somebody figure out all that, you know, to fix that thing over there, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm like, how did people figure this out?
I know.
Before YouTube.
Yeah, well, it's called books.
Yeah.
You know, owner's manual. Like, do you go to Napa or somewhere and say, I need to get the owner's manual for this 2017 Toyota Corolla. And then yeah. you look for hours and hours and hours trying to find, you know, the section that you need. And yeah, it's technology has made life simple in some ways, but also more complicated in others, man.
So, man, me and you kind of talk all the time on the phone, for those of you that are watching, so you guys know. I talk to you more than I do anybody, probably. And so we've been talking about obedience.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And I was sharing, you know, this story I'd heard on a sermon this week about a guy that just chose to be obedient, and it led to millions of people hearing this song that was written. And you just kind of looked at me, and you made a comment, and I wanted to kind of see if we could talk about that a little bit. And you said, look at the ripple effect of obedience, and look how it, you know, millions and millions of lives are being touched because someone chose to be obedient. And then you looked at me, and you were just kind of like, you know, what's crazy is the same kind of ripple effect happens whenever people are disobedient.
Yeah.
like, wait a minute, because I started thinking about that, and I'm like, that is really much, much more common in the world we live in than people being obedient and seeing God do something with it.
Yeah, I absolutely agree on that 100%. I think we catch glimpses and testimonies and stories of what it could be, you know, and it's there to inspire us, to infuse faith in us that, man, when God tells us to do a thing, man, the possibilities of the effects of that are just overwhelming. And it isn't just about how it affects your life, but it's how it affects other people's lives. And so I like to say it like this, man. I got a yes primed in my heart
right
at the end of the day, because I don't want to miss out on God opportunities, God doors opening. And it's almost like this, man. God primes other people's hearts with a yes.
Yeah.
Okay? In our obedience, I mean, think about this. There was a man by the name of Ananias, right?
Right.
Who helped a man by the name of Saul, right?
And
we know him as Paul, and he was on the road to Damascus. And so he had an encounter with the Lord that blinded him. And so, you know, the Lord told him, go to Ananias' house, and this man will help you. And now think about this. Ananias had to open up his life and open up his heart to a man who was persecuting, killing, and taking, you know, believers to, you know, back to Jerusalem. Like, I mean, it was just horrific stuff. But think about this. God had already been dealing with Ananias' heart.
Oh, yeah.
He was priming a yes in his heart. Now, what think about if Paul would have said no? How wasteful would it be for the yes that's in someone's heart? Now think about it like this. How many hearts have been primed that we don't even tap into?
Right.
Because of fear or because of worry, and then we lean on disobedience to what the Spirit and what the Word's trying to tell us to do. And here God has primed people's hearts. There's a lot of yeses in people's hearts that have been primed by the Spirit of God that we don't even tap into because we don't see the power in obedience.
Yeah, I want to tell you, excuse me, I was thinking about this the other day doing a Bible study, and Paul writes in Scripture, he says that we need to take every thought and bring it down into the obedience of Christ. And I was sitting there and I was talking to the person I was studying with, and I said, do you realize, I said, every single decision that we make, every one of them, either draws us closer to the plan that God has for us, our life, or it pulls us further from it.
Mm-hmm.
Every decision is teetering that balance. And I started, like, I think I looked it up on YouTube or Google or something, and it said we make like 60,000 decisions a day or something
crazy like that.
It's
insane.
And so when you take the totality of all those decisions, by the end of the day, you're either plus or minus somewhere.
It's like a golf game. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like, you know, you're under par or over par.
Yeah.
Yeah. No doubt about it, man. I like to say it like this. A lot of times what we're blaming on the devil is actually our dumb decisions.
Right.
You know,
he's learning from us.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, the devil, like before we were born again, man, I'm sure the devil had his notepad over there taking notes on how to destroy people's lives, because we were coming up with creative ways to destroy our own, you know? And, you know, at the end of the day, I think that, man, when we use wisdom and we make better decisions, we can't help but experience the fullness of life, to experience joy. And it doesn't mean that we're absent from problems, challenges, issues, but it just means that, you know, in spite of them, we can still have peace, joy, and comfort knowing that God's with us in it, you know?
Right.
And so I like to say it like this, is like a lot of times we look for stability, and really what wisdom and obedience brings is security. And there's a big difference. Like, stability is trying to find that peace in your situation or in your environment. Security is knowing that God is in the midst with you. For example, you'll never be secure you'll never find stability walking on water.
Right.
But you can be secure knowing that Jesus is with you. Even in my sinking, he's there. So I'm secure because I'm obedient, right? He said, come. Okay, so I'm stepping into a world. I'm stepping into a broken system that it might have stability for a moment, but there's coming a time that it's going to be unstable. There's going to be this unpredictability. Can you be secure in that unstable place? And that only happens when you're secure and confident in Jesus and you're walking in the will and the obedience of the word.
Right. Yeah. It's obedience is it's kind of like the key, know, the key to the lock, you know, and I tell people all the time that the Bible is not a list of got to's. It's a list of get to's. Because when you choose to live in obedience to God's word, it changes everything. And what I say, true joy to me is being able to see things in a positive way, even when things aren't positive.
Yeah.
You know, true joy can't be taken from you. True joy can't be like pulled away from you, you know, and I think people get mixed up between joy and happiness. Happiness is very fleeting. And I think in relationships, a lot of times, one of the things that we do that's so bad is we actually look to our spouse to bring joy into our life. And it's not really fair to place that kind of responsibility on our spouse. Yeah. God is the one that brings joy into your life and the Spirit of God. And I'm going to tell you, man, that's a trap that I think as married people that a lot of us fall into, because we take our little, you know, bucket of expectations and we kind of like, here, these are my expectations here.
And they drop your eggs and then you get mad and then you're like, it's like, wow, they weren't never really designed to carry all that weight. Yeah. Only God was. So it's a formula that always produces failure and always produces frustration. And at the end of the day, it usually creates tension and strife within a marriage or within a relationship, because, you know, the truth is like happiness is based off of what is happening.
Right.
You know, as long as everything that is happening is good, then I'm happy, you know, and that's just not joy. That's not the force and the power of joy. Joy is a state of being. Joy is a decision that no matter what I'm going through, no matter what I'm challenged with, that I know at the end of the day, I read the back of the book and we win.
Yep.
And I've read Romans 8:28, that all really means all. Like everything, it works to the good for those of us that love God and called according to his purpose. And so even in the midst, like with Paul and Silas, even if I'm locked up in the inner stock, you know, I can still find a praise. I can still, you know, worship my way through it, knowing that this isn't the end. This might be a season that I'm struggling and it might be tough, but this too shall pass. And that brings me great joy to know that, hey, that no matter what I'm dealing with, man, I can draw from a well that never runs dry on the inside of me. And that makes me happy. I mean, it just does.
And, oh, yeah.
You know, it's
when me and Crystal got married and she brought me her box of expectations, I was like going, wait, I'm trying to fix this.
Yeah.
I'm trying to – this. No, I wasn't saved when me and Crystal got married, so I wasn't considering nothing that she wanted.
Yeah.
I was only worried about what I wanted.
Yeah, I know, right?
You know, that's a whole nother podcast right there.
It is. We'd open up another chapter in the book for that.
But, you know, what's crazy to me, like, I'll tell you, like, one of the most rewarding times of obedience I think I've ever had in my life was whenever I felt like God was calling me to, like, I'll just use the most recent one, when I felt like God was telling me to invite Jace here to have our banquet. And I'm sitting there and I'm going, I don't have any money to bring a guy like that in to Columbia County and do a banquet. And I stepped out in faith and contacted his manager and, you know, signed a contract, and I still didn't have any money to do it with. And God provided, and it turned out to be one of the best events that I've ever been a part of.
Oh yeah. It was wonderful. I was honored, you know, to be a part of that.
But once you kind of get to the point to where you choose obedience and you see God show up like that, it just keeps building your confidence that he's always going to be.
Oh yeah. Yeah. You know, even with the church going through COVID, you know, him moving us from the theater into a permanent location, just being a part of that experience. I don't know. It's a faith builder, knowing that no matter what culture's going through, that the kingdom is subjected to the king. And that's good news, because we serve a mighty king that no matter what you're faced with and maybe what the cultural temperature is, that doesn't necessarily mean that has to be the way it is for you, you know? And so, yeah, going through and getting our permanent location and seeing God move us it was literally like the Red Sea that was being parted for us. But not only that, it didn't stop there. In the midst of COVID, here we are just selling the farm, draining the right. you know, the church bank account. And if you're like Andrew, as far as one of the disciples of Jesus, it's over there going, well, 200 denarii worth of bread wouldn't be sufficient to fill, you know, to feed all these people. And you need the Andrews on your team, because they're going to be looking at every penny. They're going to be counting every person. They're going to be dividing. You need that guy, but you better have a Caleb on your team and a Joshua, somebody that's willing to step out in faith, because looking in natural eyes and going, yeah, this is a good time to just spend all we got and, make this work. Well, that's what the Lord was telling us to do. He provided an opportunity. We were good stewards with what he entrusted us with all the way up to this point. We move at the speed of generosity and opportunity. And so whenever opportunity presented itself, we were able to walk through that door and just, you know, it's like I told my wife, if I got to sell the farm on anything, it's going to be Jesus.
That's it.
I'll spend every last penny, and then I'll spend every last penny I don't have, you know. I'll do whatever it takes for him to, you know, to be obedient to what he's telling us to do, to steward an opportunity and a season the way that we have. And man, we got to experience the supernatural increase of God. I mean, he took care of that thing. He took care of all that remod in one boom.
You know, it was crazy. Crystal and I were talking about that, and she's like, you know, because you guys were meeting in the movie theater, and Crystal's like, golly, man, it was like God moved him right before they shut the theater down.
A week.
It's crazy.
I signed the lease, and less than 5 days later, we got an email from Regal from Tennessee, their home corporate office. That day, effective immediately at 6 o'clock, all Regals will be shut down indefinitely. We're like, oh my God, we got to get all of our equipment and stuff out of there, because we stored it there at Regal in their storage room. But yeah, it was like, man, thank God. This is what I thank you, Jesus, that you did not subscribe to my plan, because I would have messed this thing up. I'm so thankful that you weren't, you know, moved by me complaining about all the doors you closed and the property I couldn't buy and all the, you know, I was like a teenage kid not being able to go out, to, you know, with their friends on Friday night. I don't know why people won't take our money, you know, just like I tried to buy property. I shot 2 videos. I looked, you know, crazy out there as far as believing God and getting in faith and with what we felt like God was trying to lead us. And I think God delights in that. He delights in the journey. He delights in us having the courage to step out in faith, even though we might miss it. I'm like, I'm going to see what's behind this door anyways. Maybe Dad's behind this door. I don't know. We're going to walk through it and trust that God's in it. But at the end of the day, man, he was his timing was perfect, and he preserved us
yep.
from making those bad decisions. And he waited right until the perfect opportunity that was already ordained, you know, before we were even born. You know what I'm saying? Right. It's like Ephesians 2:10, we're his workmanship, right? Created in Christ Jesus, right? For good works that we should walk in them. And so it was like just walking in them, you know?
Yeah. I know, man. And I think about obedience and disobedience. And, you know, I said this before we got on the air, is that one of the things that's so sad about what you see in our culture today is you see this, there's just a lot of dishonesty and a lot of disobedience and a lot of people wonder why the world is so chaotic. But when you start thinking about the ripple effect of deception and dishonesty and, you know, just one thing after another, when you start thinking about all the ripple effects that are going on with all this stuff, it's not hard to see why we have devices that are packed with negative content.
Yeah, it's poisonous, man.
Yeah.
It definitely is.
It is, man. It's crazy. Well, look, man, I want to tell you that I love you. I appreciate you coming on here.
I love hanging out with you, brother.
And look, let's do this. I tell you what, before we get off the air, can we make a little short prayer about being dads?
Yeah. Pray for me. I'll pray for you. But yeah, we can do that, man.
Lord, please help me and Travis not mess up the dad thing. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Help us to be like you, Lord. Patient, loving, kind. Let us use wisdom and understanding to lead and mold and shape and fashion our children into your image. Let them be vessels that bring you honor, praise, and glory their whole entire lives. Let them be living sacrifices, well-pleasing and honoring to you, God. Whatever they go, whatever they put their hands to, Lord, let them just release the fragrance of Christ, a fragrance of love, a fragrance of goodness, Lord. We thank you for them. They truly are a gift from you, Lord, and help us to steward them well, because it can be difficult at times. But, Lord, we love you and we thank you.
Amen. Amen. Listen, man, appreciate you coming on.
Yeah. Hey, you coming to church Sunday? I've missed you. It's been 3 weeks.
I know, man. I got a trip on the river probably that I'm going to be doing. So
yeah, it's all good, brother.
But let me see how that works out, because I do miss coming to church, man, because we've been at a tournament and a couple other things.
Yeah, no, trips on the river are good, though.
Yeah, I got some bull peanuts for you before you go, too, man.
All right,
so.
Cool. I like bull peanuts.
All right, man. See you later. Thanks, right. Guys. Thanks all for right. Watching.
Thank you for listening to A Voice in the Wilderness podcast with Skipper Hare. We hope you enjoyed this podcast. You can also learn more about FCA Outdoors by going to fcaod.org. Check out the Woods and Water magazine, which comes out once a month. Skipper writes an exciting article for FCA Outdoors. You can pick them up in most convenience stores in the Southeast region. Don't forget to subscribe to the YouTube channel Hare Days-Uncut to follow all the podcasts from Skipper and his friends.